Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You are supposed to be in church, but you know what? God doesn't give you a grade or points or extra favor because you go to church. God would love you exactly the same if you never went to church again. If you never darkened the door of a church, God would love you the same, but you wouldn't love God the same because you wouldn't be hearing the Word of God. You wouldn't be built up. You wouldn't have like-minded people. Going to church isn't for God's sake. It's for your sake. If you don't go to church, you're stupid. You are just absolutely stupid. But here's my point. God loves you, stupid. Amen. God's not mad at you. But you're just absolutely stupid if you don't study the Word and go to church and pay your tithes. You're just stupid, but God loves you stupid. Amen? God's not mad at you. You're just crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's just wrong. Amen? For time's sake, let me jump down. He's talking about, he quotes from Psalms chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, about how that Jesus came to change everything and take away, he says, sacrifice and offering. You aren't pleased with all of these blood of animals, but you've provided me with the body. I'm coming to do your will. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. Talking about he's ending the old covenant and putting into place a new covenant. And then in verse 10, he says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word sanctified means to make holy or separate. You are sanctified, purified, holy, separated from sin once for all. Once. The body of Christ is believing, oh, I'm saved until the next time I sin. Oh, God loves me until the next time I sin. Have you ever seen one of these tracts that it's like the four spiritual laws, which there's some truths in there. I'm not totally against that thing. I've used it, but it pictures a cliff over here and man's on this side. And then here's God over here and there's this huge gulf in between. And it shows attempts to bridge the gap and no man can reach from where they are over to where God is because of this huge gulf that sin has made, this rift between God and man. And then they picture a cross coming and bridging the gap. And now man is able to enter in over here to God. And they use that to tell you that you need your sins forgiven so that you can be over here with God. Now that's good as far as it goes. But you know what? There's people that take a track like that, pray it, and they are just, man, I'm forgiven. God loves me. And so they get saved on Sunday and they just have a wonderful time. They wake up on Monday and without even realizing it, for 40 years they've given Monday to the devil and sang about Blue Monday. And oh, I got to go to work. And they get up and drag and all the weekend's over. And so you just by habit start being depressed and discouraged because that's the way you've done everything for 30, 40 years. And all of a sudden, about halfway through the day, you think, man, I was saved. Everything was wonderful yesterday, and here I am back depressed and discouraged, and I'm sitting in the same cubicle, and I got the same people ragging on me, and all of a sudden, your joy isn't there. And so you go back to the person that led you to the Lord and say, what happened? I was so happy yesterday. How come I'm not experiencing the same joy? And you know what the average person will tell you? Sin. You must have sinned. And you say, oh, well, I thought Jesus forgave me of my sin. Oh, he did. But you've sinned again and erased the cross. Now you're back over here and there's sin separating you. Well, I thought that God forgave me of my sin. Well, he did, but you've sinned since then. And so now you got to repent and you got to get that under the blood. And all of a sudden, this joy and this peace and this hope that you had was erased because sin has been separated you again. And this time you can't get born again, so what do? All of a sudden you just think, well, it was too good to be true. I thought my sin was really forgiven, but it was only partially forgiven until the next time I sin. And now God's ticked off. Maybe he's not going to send me to hell now because I got born again, but I can't enjoy the presence of God. I can't get a prayer answered. I can't. God's not pleased with me. He's upset. And so you're back over here, and now you can't get Jesus to die for you again, so you just settle into an inferior, second-class Christianity because sin is still having an impact. That's wrong. Man, the Lord, one sacrifice, cleansed you, sanctified you from sin once for all. All sin has been dealt with. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Again, he's making a contrast. Under the law, you had to offer sin, sacrifices for sins over and over and over. And it's contrast. And that's the way it was done. But in verse 12, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I have had some people challenge me in verse 10 where it says that we were sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I've had some people say that means once for all people, not once for all time. You have to go get every sin dealt with. But if you just keep reading it in context, verse 12 makes it very clear that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. This is for all time, not just for all people. It is for all time. One sacrifice dealt with your sin once for all time. Once forever. Once forever. In verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many times has he got to say it? I think that's six times that it's made the point about one sacrifice forever, for all time. One sacrifice dealt with your sins once for all. You have been sanctified, verse 10, and perfected, verse 14, forever. You know, the reason that I think it's so hard for people to understand this is because of what I've got this teaching out there entitled Spirit, Soul, and Body. And to me, this is the key that just unlocked my brain and helped me to understand this. People see this and they think, I'm perfected forever. And they go look in the mirror and they see zits and gray hairs and wrinkles and bags and ugly. And they just think This is perfect. This is as good as it's going to get. I'm sanctified and perfected forever. And then they search their emotional realm and they have fear and they're worried and they're depressed and they're discouraged. And they think this is sanctified and perfect. And they say, the Bible is so hard to understand. But it's not your body that has been saved. It's not your mind and your emotions that have been saved. Look over in chapter 12, verse 22. Remember that men are the ones that put the chapter and verse divisions in there for reference sake. It's helping me to tell you which verse to read. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not a new letter. It's not a new thought. This is the same letter. It's the same author making the same point. And he said this in chapter 12, verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. This makes it very clear in context. 10:14 says you were perfected forever. What part of you is perfected? Not the part that you see in the mirror, not your personality, emotional part, but the spirit is the part of you that has been made perfect. In your spirit, you were born again and you became a brand new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. It didn't say all things are becoming new. All things have become new. It's a done deal. In your spirit, you are completely changed. You are a new person. And according to Ephesians 4:24, that spirit was created righteous, in right standing with God, and truly holy. In your spirit, you are as pure and holy as Jesus is. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is," speaking of Jesus, "so are we in this world." Not so are we going to be in the future, but so are we in this world. And again, people go look in the mirror and they think, this is the way that Jesus is? Or they search their emotions. This is the way that Jesus is. No, your physical body and your soul haven't been saved. But your spirit has been changed so that in the spirit realm you are identical to Jesus. It's the spirit that's been sanctified and perfected forever. And then Ephesians 1:13 says that after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This born-again spirit was forgiven of all sin. And then instantly it's vacuum-packed, sealed. The Holy Spirit encases it. And if you sin as a Christian, that sin will enter into your physical body and give Satan an opportunity against you with sickness or something like that, or poverty. It'll enter into your soul and into your thinking, and it'll give Satan an opportunity to make you discouraged and depressed and fearful. So don't sin, because that gives Satan an inroad into those areas. But your spirit is sealed, and that sin can't penetrate that seal. This part of you that was born again and became righteous and truly holy is instantly vacuum packed, and it never loses that holiness and purity. It has been sanctified and perfected forever. And John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. He is looking at you in your born-again spirit. Yeah. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God is seeing you in your spirit, and in your spirit you are as holy and pure and righteous as Jesus is. And so if you want to worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Come before Him on the basis of the born again you that has been sanctified and perfected forever.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK155 titled Momentary Redemption when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to join us on the web. We have a website that I believe is second to none. There's a lot of really good things on there. There's hundreds of my teachings that are there for free downloads. You can get all of our television programs on this topic about Don't Limit God there. We have over 2,000 of my television programs that are there that you can view online. I have more than that, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 of my radio programs. We've got books. We've got a lot of things. It's just a tremendous resource. And I get comments from people constantly that say it's just changing their life just being on the website. Check it out today.